got a pastor?
Yep.
Okay, good. I was getting kind of nervous. What's that?
Can I do the first demo while he's getting ready?
Sure. Yeah. We got a substitute pastor today, and it's a little late, and me and Rory were getting really nervous, and we flipped a coin. The pastor's here now, so let's start with the first hymn. And at the end of the service, it's not in your bulletin, but we're going to sing God Bless America. So we'll start off now.
Hymnal. Where did I go with my hymnal? Oh, right here. Yep. Now, are these things printed out, these services, or not? Oh, it's all in there. Okay. All right. Any rain down here? We got 3.5 inches the other. Yeah, that's awful good. That's a big blessing from the Lord, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Morning. A little worried, weren't you? I asked about where you guys lived. One guy lived here all his life. He never knew. Yeah, he says it's got to be here somewhere, I guess. Okay. We're going to make a little modification on your service simply because I got here a little late. And so please rise. Beloved of the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father. beseeching him in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. And in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, but suffering in death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I am by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you, and in this debt and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. We're going to read the Old Testament lesson, okay? I'll try to make up a little bit for my lost time. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, so it may be just a little different than what you have in your bulletin. And the Old Testament lesson is found in Ezekiel, the second chapter, beginning at verse 1. And God said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are an impotent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, This says the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear, whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious nation. Yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to
God. And the epistle lesson for this Sunday, July the 4th, is found in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and verse 1 through 10. St. Paul, in inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now the diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the one same God who works all in all. But the manifestations of this Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, discerning of the spirits. And to another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. And the Holy Gospel for this sixth Sunday after Pentecost is found in Mark, the sixth chapter, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath had come, Jesus began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is that which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at Jesus. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now Jesus could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in the circuits teaching, and he called the 12 to him and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over the unclean spirits. Jesus commanded them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper, and in their money belts. But they were to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Jesus said to them, "In whatever place you enter, because stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you when you depart from there, shake off the dust of your feet as a testimony against them. Truly, truly, I say to you, it would be more tolerable in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So they went out and preached to people and that they should repent of their sins, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and many of them were healed. This is the word of the Lord. This is the gospel of the Lord. And let us now make confession of confession of our Christian faith as we confess together the words of the Nicene Creed. I don't want to lead you guys astray, and so I'm trying to find it in the hymnal. What page is it on? Well, you don't know. What?
Back cover.
Well, there you go. Yeah, very good. Let's confess together our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he would come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll sing the next hymn. Hooked it up wrong. This goes. The church is one foundation. Thank you very much. Jesus Christ, here, Lord,
is a firm foundation. Water and the Word. Be his holy bride, with his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. He left for every nation, all the earth. Salvation,
one faith, one birth. Holy food, wonder. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Before I begin my sermon, I want to apologize for getting here late. My apology, and don't hold it against me, and don't tell your pastor I was late. You have a beautiful church here. Beautiful church, and a good organist. Beautiful organ back there. Good organist. And that's a blessing no matter where you go to have that. You know, and your organist may be interested in this. You may be interested in this. How many organists do you have? How many? One? Four. Oh, man, that is good. That's got to be some kind of record. I'm from down in North Carolina. I had a parish down there for about 30 years, 30 plus. And down there, organists are very short in supply. And so one church, and it was big, you know, but not huge, they paid their organist $40,000 a year. Now, I'm just guessing. I am just guessing, but I bet you if you paid that to your organist, they'd be happy. Yeah. They'd be satisfied with that. Alibi Agency came into existence in the early 1990s. It exists for one reason, that is to deceive people. In particular, it's there to help a man or a woman deceive his or her spouse, covering up an affair with somebody else at the office. They will, for a sum, around $100 a use, they will provide for that individual fake hotels, fake conventions that they attended, fake receipts from false made-up restaurants, so that all with the purpose of deceiving the other spouse. They even monitor phone calls 24/7, again for an extra fee for those who want to have that. deception, deceiving people, deceiving God. We don't like deceptions, people who deceive, put on airs, and are contrary to the way they actually are saying. And yet we live in such a deceptive society. Today we're going to look at the cause of deception. What causes people to deceive other people? And then secondly, the sorrow of deception. There is a sorrow that goes along with being deceived or deceiving somebody. And then finally, the only cure for deception. There is a pain of betrayal. Loving someone or something more than a person loves God. Judas had that problem, didn't he? Judas, who betrayed Christ, he was the treasure of the little band of disciples, we are told. He held the little money purse, and he stole money from that money purse. May well have been doing it, thinking, well, I'll just pay it back later on out of my own salary or whatever they were making. But to sin deliberately, knowingly, willingly, drives out the Holy Spirit. Drives the Holy Spirit out. The sin of betrayal, the sin of... That sin isn't just with Judas. It's with you and me too. All sin springs from original sin. Sin that you and I received from our parents, and if we are parents, passed on to our children, they'll do the same thing to their children all the way down to the time Christ comes. Original sin. It's as Luther described it, the total corruption of the whole human race. And it was original sin then that moved Judas to betray Christ. And he's not alone. I remember serving a congregation that had an individual, a lady, and it was in Iowa, mind you. She was a kleptomaniac. Yeah, a kleptomaniac. And I never could quite figure this out or get a good answer. The church elected her to be the treasurer. Now, what could go wrong in a situation like that? And, of course, she stole money. And she was condemned roundly by the congregation for doing that. Satan plays you and me like fools. Satan knows exactly which string, which button to push for you to get you to sin. And it shouldn't be surprising to you that those same temptations continue to be placed before you. When I was in high school many, many moons ago, there was a man a couple years ahead of me in high school. And he said to me one day, I want to rob a bank. Now, I thought that was dumb, even though I wasn't very smart in high school. But when he got, he would case banks, go to towns like right here in Alton. And he would case the bank, and he would know just when people arrived to work in the bank, and he got caught, sent to prison. That doesn't surprise me, but he's not alone. There was a lady up in Sheldon, Iowa. I bet you heard of her. She embezzled money from her daddy's bank back in the 60s or 70s, put Sheldon on the map. I'm sure she didn't deliberately. She closed the bank, so to speak. Her father lost his job, obviously. And I'm sure she didn't do that on purpose. But there she was, embezzling money and taking it for and using it for herself. You say to yourself, well, I'm in high school. I've never thought about going around and robbing a bank. I'm older. I never ever thought about robbing a bank or doing anything like that. But original sin produces sin in your life, causes you to sin. The good I want to do, I don't do, and the very evil I don't want to do, Paul said, that's what I do. How many of you, and this is particularly true of high school kids, and in junior high, gossip. How many of you gossip? High school kids and junior high are known to do that, aren't they? They can destroy somebody's reputation in a matter of a few moments. And while they don't like it, it's always being done. And the older we get, we should know better, but very few people don't gossip. Luther's explanation of the eighth commandment is we should not deceitfully belie, betray, slander, or defame our neighbor, but defend him, speak well of him, and put the best construction on everything. If you slander and gossip about your neighbor, well, you're just as guilty of sin as Judas was. Make no mistake about that. The wages of sin is always the same, whether it's Judas or whether it's you or whether it's me. The wages of sin is death. And that's why those of us who are older are going to die, because we were born and conceived in sin. As David says, in sin, my mother conceived me. That's original sin that he was talking about there, not the act. And this sin, not only in our lives, but it flows, oh, sad to say, and I've never been here, maybe the last time I ever get to come back here to you guys, because I've been late. But nevertheless, I would dare say it manifests itself in this congregation too. Many congregations are willing to tolerate sin and sinful actions of their members as long as it doesn't disrupt the flow of money into their treasuries. Now, our synod takes a strong stand against masonry and the whole lodge issue, but that isn't often followed by Missouri Synod churches down in my area where I spent 30 some years in North Carolina. A church not only had a lodge member, but he was the treasurer of the congregation, but he was also a member of the district's board of directors, and he was the treasurer there too. And they knew that he was a lodge member. But because money was coming in, nobody said anything. The same thing's true with a closed community. I don't know whether you practice open or closed community, but our synods practice is closed communion. Yeah, and yet many churches, they rebel against that too, just to keep the money flowing into the congregation. Immorality plagues our country and our congregations. I remember I had a cousin who had a girlfriend from California. A cousin who had a girlfriend from California. And she moved in with him. And the elders and the pastor went over to see him and her and said they had to stop that practice. It was wrong, sinful. She needed to leave. And she left, all right, but not before she gave her own opinion of the congregation and their attitudes that were way behind times. This congregation, like the majority of our congregations in our synod, and not just in our synod, other synods too, I would imagine you have a confirmation class. Young men and young women gather up here, probably at the foot of the altar here, and they take a vow. They take a vow that they would be willing to suffer all, yes, even death, rather than fall away from Christ. Yet, how many of them, after a year has transpired, still come to church? How many of them are faithful in following them? They no longer follow the Savior. They no longer believe in the Savior. They no longer listen to the Savior. They're no longer sheep of the shepherd's flock. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing of the Word of God. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Those who do not follow Jesus are not his sheep. And yet, assuming that this church has young members who don't come to church anymore, even though they were confirmed, well, that's the pastor's job or elder's job. And yet, it's all of our jobs, isn't it? We're all members of one family, the church here. And all of us have the responsibility to speak to those individuals. A pastor especially does. Pastors will give an account before God of how well they shepherd the sheep, the little lambs that were under and following Jesus. Whether they warn them of the dangers of living contrary to God's word. If they encourage them to follow Jesus. As pastors, we'll give it a stricter account. Let not many of you be teachers, the writer of the Hebrews says, because we come under a stricter rule. And that's true. The cause of betrayal, of sin, and Satan, he plays us like a fiddle. He knows exactly which temptations you're most susceptible to. And so he keeps doing it all the time. And he's exceedingly successful. I doubt if there's any individual here that's ever been tempted to rob a bank, go out and shoot somebody. But Satan knows exactly your weakness. And he will use it. Till the moment you die. The sorrow of betrayal. The disciples were exceedingly saddened when Judas betrayed Jesus. And they always said that, the one who betrayed Jesus. Whenever they wrote about little Judas, they always said, the one who betrayed Jesus. Judas was a popular name at one time. At that time, in fact, Jesus had two disciples that were named Judas. But I doubt if you've ever run across somebody who's been named Judas by his parents. Judas is held up as a very despicable individual that you never want to be like. Parents oftentimes grieve sadly when their children turn away from God and no longer follow Him. I can't begin to tell you how many parents I had who, in my years as a pastor, who were filled with sorrow that they were afraid that they'd never see their child again in heaven. I had a sister like that. renounce the Christian faith, and I doubt if I'll ever see her again in the coming lifetime. Satan knows exactly how to play you. Demas, having loved this present world, Paul writes, has deserted me. That's sad. The cure for betrayal, and there is only one cure. There aren't a multitude of cures out there. There's only one way and one way alone. And you sang about it in your hymns, you sang. The church is one foundation, Jesus Christ, her Lord. Jesus Christ is the only cure for betrayal, for sins and sorrows. You got trouble in your life, Jesus is the only one who can really help you. He is truly a friend for you. Jesus Christ came in this world for one purpose, and that was to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world. Your sins and my sins, the sins of everybody, were placed on Jesus. Judas is in hell today not because Jesus didn't die for those sins. He's in hell because he refused to believe that his sins were forgiven. He was filled with despair and said, I was coming home from taking our son to a college up in Minnesota a few years back. And right outside of Asheville, North Carolina. Any of you have ever been to Asheville, North Carolina? No, huh? Beautiful town. And on I-40, going east, right outside the city limits, there was a huge sign, a large sign with Jesus on it. And Jesus strung out on the cross, his hands and feet. And it had this caption: Jesus Christ knows that life can be as hard as nails sometimes. You're never alone with Jesus. He's always there with you. He offers you a love and forgive of all your sins. It's as St. Paul writes, this is a trustworthy statement. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief sinner. Don't go home today thinking that somehow you've committed a sin that is too great for God to forgive. He forgave that sin all the way back 2,000 years ago when he hung on the cross. God wants you to be in heaven with his whole heart. You don't have to twist our God's arm behind his back to get God to love you. He points simply to his Son, our Savior, and this is love. Not that we first loved God, but that he first loved us and gave his Son to be a payment, a total payment for the sins of the whole world, your sins and my sins. That your sins are found forgiven in Christ Jesus. Go home rejoicing today, knowing that your sins are truly forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Years ago when I was down in North Carolina serving as a pastor, I came home one evening, later on in the evening, from being down in a hospital in Charlotte, North Carolina, visiting a member. And I was coming home on I-77 out of Charlotte, and I decided, well, I'll catch a little bite to eat on the way home. So I stopped at a little diner, got out, and an SUV pulled up next to me. And it was plastered with decals that about Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers had a stadium there in Charlotte. And this car was plastered with decals, and a young couple, oh, in their early 20s, jumped out of the car, and I turned around and I said, did they win? They were playing in the playoffs that night. And with great big smiles on their face and with enthusiasm in their voice, they said, we won! We won! Easter is God's proclamation that you and I and all Christians are on the winning team. Easter is God's glorious proclamation that because he rose from the grave, you too shall rise again from the grave. He that believeth in me has everlasting life. So go home today rejoicing that your name is written in the book of life and that your sins are forgiven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. What do we do now? Collect offering? Is that it? Clean heart, O God, right spirit within me, cast me not from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, restore unto me joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. Amen. We pray. O Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and life, and all who believe in you have eternal life. That is glorious news. When the Son of Man sets us free, we are free indeed. And on this 4th of July, then we rejoice in the freedom. Freedom from sin's accusation, freedom from eternal death. Freedom found only in Jesus. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can offer us freedom like Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that you would be with the church, any sick people that they have, any in hospital, nursing home, comfort them on this 4th of July with the assurance that you're always with them. They're never alone. You love them through and through. They have a real friend in you. We pray for the pastor and his family. Be with them and watch over and protect them. And we pray, bless them richly with your love. Keep them in your care and bring them back safely to your family right here in Hanover. We ask all this, dear Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Do we collect the offering now? No? No? Oh, okay. We'll institute the Lord's Supper. You guys don't collect offerings here? Is that it? Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, when he had given thanks, he gave them and said, take, drink. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take and drink. This is the true blood of your dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. I'll follow you. Do I take it with you guys now, or do I wait till at the end? Do I take communion with you guys, or do I do it at the end? Oh, we'll do it at the end. We'll do it at your... And take the body of the Lord. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. And now may the eating and drinking of the true body and blood of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. And now may the eating and drinking of the true body and blood of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior. And now may the eating and drinking of the true body and blood of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sin. The Lord protect you from harm and danger, the Lord keep you in his protective care. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of your dear Savior. Now may the eating and drinking of the true body and blood of your dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Depart in peace. Amen. Is this it? Anything left yet? I'll take that. Okay, I'll go right down here. Amen. Again, it was a privilege to be here with you folks. My apology for being late. And next week, your own pastor will be here. It was a delight to be here with you folks. Nice area, nice, beautiful church. And truly a privilege to be here for this Sunday. Please rise for the benediction. Don't tell the pastor I shortened the service. It'll be our little secret. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. We'll sing the last hymn. You may be seated. Keep us steadfast in your word. Curb those who by discreet sword would wrest them from your son and bring to naught all he has done. Lord Jesus Christ, I've known. For you are Lord of Lords alone. Defend your holy church that we may sing this eternally. Converter of this world, set voice on beauty on earth. Okay. All right. Okay. Bless our name, land of the free. Beside her, guide her, the might from above. Mountains to the cherries, ocean bright and far. God bless America, our home, sweet home. God bless America, our home, sweet home. Good morning. Yes, good morning. Yes, good to be here with you folks. Oh, and we got out just in time, too. Yes. Good morning. Have a good day.